The events of Resistance 3 takes place 4 years after the events of Resistance 2. As you said, our protagonist met an unfortunate end, so you're now playing as Joseph Capelli, who is a character in Resistance 2. He's a sentinel just like Nathan Hale, so he had undergone all the same experimental kind of processes. And now in the 4 years, the Chimera basically won the war. The Earth is occupied by them, and Joseph Capelli has seen the futility of fighting back with the giant military, much due to the fact that the military of the Earth has been wiped out. It just doesn't pay to fight them one-on-one, the Chimera. So where we meet Joseph Capelli, when we start the game, he's at his hometown, where he's got a family, he's got a son, and they're just hiding out. They're basically surviving by just kind of like being underground and staying safe. But of course, an old friend shows up, says, "Hey, I might know how to defeat the Chimera once and for all, but we got to go to New York." So it's that difficult choice of leaving your family to go on this journey across the country in hostile, occupied territory.
Well, just out of curiosity, will you be only doing first-person shooting, or will you get a chance to get in some mechs or vehicles for yourself?
No, you'll be first-person shooter primarily through the game. We spent a lot of time just trying to make sure that the gameplay variety is there, but we're not doing vehicles in this game.
Yeah, a lot of people have been talking about the variety. You know, as far as the building aspect of this game goes, you've had an extra year to sort of iterate on what we'd seen in Resistance 2. And obviously you guys are very excited about what you are bringing to the forefront. So talk to us about how the landscape changes for Capelli, the protagonist, as he goes from, you know, Oklahoma to New York City.
Well, the landscape changes dramatically, as you would expect, from that journey. But one of the things, too, is because the Chimera, the Chimera home planet and the enemy itself, they live in cold. That's why they have these heat sinks, basically, on their backs. As you move throughout the game, it's going to get colder. It's going to get icier. It's going to, you know, blizzard-like conditions to show that the world is changing as you're moving along and really illustrate the effects that the Chimera are having on the world itself. So you constantly have that kind of ticking clock as you're moving forward, knowing humans just aren't going to last that much longer. It's getting colder and colder and colder.
And the one thing that I've sort of been able to pick up in gameplay videos throughout the process is that pacing is drastically different in Resistance 3 than it was in Resistance 2. So talk to us about some of the bumps in the road that might, you know, kind of alter the idea of just going in there and shooting everything you see.
Well, it's interesting because going back to Resistance 1, we were constantly looking at every setup and going, we got to go more. And we were just like slamming on the accelerator. And that game pretty much has one speed, which is constant, fast and hard. And what we wanted to do with Resistance 3 was have that variety, you know, the gameplay variety, where you do have to be quiet at some time. You do just have to run at times. You know, we don't want you to just be doing the same type of gameplay over and over again. So from the very beginning of development in this game, we went through every single level, every beat of every level. We have it mapped out of what kind of feeling we want the player to have at any given moment, and we stuck with that. And so, once we got the game in place and we saw where we were hitting it and where we weren't, we could make the adjustments easily.
Now, a lot of games today find themselves, let's say, for example, Resistance 3, in the third game in the franchise, and you're always trying to look to bring new players in, even though you're at that third game. When you guys were in development, was there anything specific that you focused on that maybe people who have played the game will notice, or maybe just things that you can think of that you really want to get new players in with, like new modes or something like that?
Well, I think that's easy for us because Resistance 1 was always met with that the feeling of if you just played with the standard assault rifle that you're given in the beginning of the game, which a lot of people did, it's just kind of mediocre. But the people who started playing with all the different weapons using alt fires, they got the game. They got what we were doing and everything. So for Resistance 3, the biggest thing to rope in the new players is we spent a lot of time training. In the beginning of the game, throughout the game, when you get a new weapon, we spend that time and effort to like make sure people know how to use it. That was the biggest thing. So I think, you know, there may be that feeling in the beginning of people who are used to the franchise that it's kind of boring, you know, that we're spending so much time training, but it's really worth it because we also did a lot of usability testing during development, and we saw the differences from when we first started and people were confused and just kind of like ambling their way through, and now it's at a point where when you're done with that, all of the training sections, you know how to play the game, and you're able to utilize the weapons a lot more strategically.
Yeah, I think Resistance is certainly known for the weapons. The graphics have improved remarkably.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a competitive landscape in the first-person shooter genre, and a lot of it relies on multiplayer. I know you guys put a lot of stock in the single-player campaign, the story that goes along with that. But when people get this, you know they're getting a multiplayer element in it. So talk to us a bit about that.
Well, for multiplayer, we had... Talk about the extra time and what that brings you. We had an entirely different game mode before. We had a lot more sort of hard class-based strategic elements, and we tested it, and it was really hard. It was very, very difficult for people to pick up and kind of understand. So we scrapped it. We started over, and we spent the better part of the full three-year cycle just tuning our multiplayer, giving it as much attention to scaling up your abilities. We have all these abilities in the game, passive and active abilities, that allow you to customize your game. You know, like if you're a tank who just wants to go in and bum rush, you've got all these abilities that will help you do that. And so that was the main focus of multiplayer, is in addition to all the weapons and alt fires on all the weapons, we have all of these ability trees that you can purchase on your way up. And it's allowed people to play the game a lot more the way they want to do it.